claims are cash grabs. All of them. Every single one of them.
That's the agenda. That's why they create these games to get people's money.
I'm going to make a game called Cash Grab. And it's just going to be, you pay me money just to open your app. And that's it. Every time you open your app, I get 99 cents.
Damn.
Open the app.
But what do I get for opening it? What are you going to get me to? Why am I opening the app?
It'll just give you a shower of fireworks. And that's it.
You want to be celebrated?
Open fireworks. 99 cents. Thank you.
I don't know if that'll do very well.
Kids will be on their parents' phone just opening that app.
They're going to sue you. They're going to sue you for taking their money.
Hey, I didn't download it for you. You downloaded it yourself. This game says 99 cents per opening app. App opening.
Damn. I'm sure you would get lots of investors. They're like, oh, what a great idea.
I know. Like, dumbasses.
Yeah, they are dumbasses. No, I'm just kidding. You guys aren't dumbasses.
The investors would be.
They are. Brandy, what's happening?
Nothing.
Talk to me. Tell me about this. So last week, if you guys listened to the podcast, Brandy said she wanted a dog. Not even 5 hours after our recording, Brandy.
It was 5 hours.
What happened? 5 hours after the recording, what happened?
I don't know. No, there was this dog running down the street. Little black dog with like gray, black and gray dog.
A lap dog.
Yeah, it was a little dog, like maybe a 5-pound dog. Was running down the street, and like I called the dog, and he just came, and I was like, "Oh, okay."
Were you like, "Hey, doggy?"
I was like, "Hey, come here, puppy." And he just came, and
okay.
I was like, and then I picked him up, and I was like, he had a little X on his under his thing, like a little green X, like they were gonna do surgery or something, or he had it or whatever. I don't know. And I was like, "Oh, this dog belongs to somebody, of course." And so I walked down the street, and then I just walked like 2 houses down, and I was like, "Hey, is this your dog?" This lady. Because they have dogs, and I didn't know if that was their dog. And she was like, no. But she, like, the lady knew every freaking dog, everybody who had dogs, like, in her vicinity. She was like, well, they've got a dog, and they've got a shepherd, and they've got, and I was like, dang, you know all this. She was like, well, you know, I walk our dogs every day.
Give me her information. I'm going to bring her some dog biscuits.
Right? So then I posted on a post on Facebook about, you know, this dog was found. And the groomer was like, oh, I can scan for a chip. Can you hold the dog until the owner's found? I was like, yeah, sure. But I brought the dog in, and Norman and Gracie, of course, was like, oh, the doggy, I love the dog. You know, can I pet him? Blah, 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 blah. So she was like all gaga over this dog. I was like, why don't you guys go, you know, take the dog, walk the dog up the street and see if, you know, if you can locate who owns the dog. Gracie starts crying. I want to keep him. I want to keep him. I'm like, she probably belongs to somebody and they probably want their dog back. And I was like, if we can't find the owners, then we'll keep them. And so she's like, you know, doing the waterworks and I want to keep him. I want him. He's so cute. She's like, just go find the dog's owners. So they walk the dog up the street and like literally they're not even like to the other end of the street and the owners come rolling up. Hey, that's my dog. And this is some guy and his girlfriend or his wife. And, you know, apparently the dog has escaped from their garage like 4 times already. Like they were in the garage or whatever and the dog just ran out. So they have this dog that, you know, just keeps getting out. And, but, you know, as Gracie does, they were like, yeah, you can come visit him anytime. His name was Kenshi or something.
Oh, wow.
So the dog is back with its owners unless it's run away again. And that's it. Story of this dog.
You manifested a dog.
Yeah, except for...
You didn't get to keep it. But...
This dog that comes into your life for 5 minutes.
But, you know, I guess we just have to choose our words a little more wisely. I want to take a dog home today. That's what you said, and you did.
Apparently, I guess...
Careful what you say.
The universe got that message, literally. Wish it would get the others.
Can I get some money? A couple mil, what is it? Can I win the lotto?
Right. The universe answers what it wants to answer when it wants to answer, apparently.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah, so that's what happened with the dog. And that's about it. I harvested a whole bunch of little baby eggplants.
you did. And they're, you know, you brought them to my home and I'm going to fry them.
Oh, you're like, these are mine now.
They're all mine. I'm
trying to claim my eggplants. Yeah, that's about it. So okay. What's happening in...
What's happening in the hood?
In your neck of the woods.
I am still doing the same old thing. As you listen to this episode, this weekend we had the Bark at the Park. At this time, I'm still prepping and getting biscuits made for the Bark at the Park. I don't know why I feel like this. I'm overwhelmed. I've been doing events and selling dog biscuits for a really long time. And so I'm just really excited about this event. It's like I want to take as much as I can, but then I don't want to not sell all my stuff.
Last year, you sold out last year, right?
Last year, the event was not had.
Not last year, but, you know.
2019. Yeah. I think I did. I did. And then, like, I ran out of samples, and some lady was like, just put them in my bag. I was like, lady, calm the fuck down.
Wait, what?
Because I was like, I had, like, samples. I was giving out, like, some samples so people could, you know, take them. And, like, I ran out of samples. Uh-huh. And then the lady was like, well, you know, you can't just put them in a Ziploc. And I was just like, no. And I don't have Ziplocs. Like, get out of here.
You should have said, well, if you can bring me some Ziplocs, I'll put them in there.
Well, I would prefer to sell biscuits rather than give out samples.
Yeah, of course.
And I think that's what I'm going to do this year. I might take some samples just to give some people some samples. But once they're gone, they're gone. I think I might even do a drawing to get people to encourage people to sign up and give me their email addresses. I'm going to do like a box giveaway, so I might do a raffle.
Yeah, so like have a little thing about a newsletter, like sign up for the newsletter.
And mm-hmm. Then... I do have a thing, and I was collecting email addresses like 3 years ago, and I never used them. But now I have my newsletter up and running. I've just been really working on a lot of different things, and I'm kind of stretched really thin. But I'm really trying to get it together and, you know, just keep moving forward. Today happens to be International Podcast Day. So, yay!
The physical day, not the day you're listening.
Physical day on Twitter. It's crack-a-lackin'. But, I mean, other than that, dude, like, living the dream, keeping the lights on. Keeping the lights on. I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is Book of Lies, the podcast.
It's Vulp, bitches.
Weep, weep, weep. So, hey, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being here. If this is your first episode, welcome. Go ahead and connect with us on social. You can follow us on Instagram at Book of Lies Podcast, on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod. And if you're doing the Facebook, we've got a group and a page, Book of Lies Podcast. You could visit our website at bookofliespodcast.com. I promise I will put the link into the show notes this time. And or you can...
What?
I forgot this week. I can add it, though. We have Patreon. You can support us on Patreon for as little as $2 a month. You get early episodes, commercial-free episodes, and... shower you with love and affection, of course. So meet us there. Thank you to our current patrons, KT, OT, Ken, and Kathleen. We still love you guys. Thank you so much for sticking with us. Okay, I have to talk about the Housewives, of course, first, because it's Housewives season. Are you caught up on Salt Lake City?
Yeah. There's only 2 episodes.
There's 3 episodes. They release episodes on Sunday.
I watched something. I'm pretty sure.
Did you see the ice fishing one when they were trying to catch trout? That was episode 3.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm caught up.
How do you feel about people when they're confronted with like the truth and the facts and they deflect and lie and try and misdirect?
Well, how do I feel about people who do that?
Yes,
how do you feel? I don't like that. Duh. But specifically, Jen Shah. Someone else runs my Twitter. Okay, that's cute. You get to decide what they like and don't like on your Twitter.
Right.
Like, yeah. I don't go and, like, run somebody's Twitter and just start liking fucking racist posts. Like, what are you talking about? You don't, you know, you say, hey, don't like these types of posts. Don't like posts talking about my friend's kids or shit like that. You don't just say, well, someone else does it. Nah.
Right. And just like, that's the answer. Leave it alone. That is not it. That is not it. You need to have some accountability for their actions.
Yes.
And then she's like, well, how do you think my children feel?
They didn't, I love, she was like, how have I hurt your children? Please tell me, how have I hurt
Meredith
your
was
children?
Sick of her shit. There was not a dig or any mention of your children.
At all.
This was between you and someone else's child. And he said what he said. It may not have been true, but your fifis are hurt.
Yeah.
And this is why you're acting this way.
Yep.
So,
but she lashes out like we have seen time and again. That's what she does. She just lashes out without thinking about what the consequences might be. And then when she's faced with the consequences, she tries to get an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, grow the fuck up, lady. You're like 60 years old. I mean, not 60, but you're she's definitely like, older than 50.
Maybe.
Oh, and then Mary Cosby tried to throw her under the bus. You are in your 50s.
Oh, yeah, she be hating. But Mary Cosby is nasty. How she farted. She was like, excuse me, I need silence.
I need to poot.
Gross.
You need everybody to hear your fart? Is that what you're saying?
But then she was like, this is how Jinshaw makes me feel. This is what she makes me do.
Yeah, this is what talking about her makes me do.
That's gross.
And Brooks was just laughing. I'm just like, that's fucking weird.
But, okay.
It's weird.
If I were Meredith, I would feel the same way. I would mama bear on her. I'm like, my son has not spoken to me about this or anyone else about it. You can't force him or put him in a box and, you know, kind of... I understand that. I respect that. But Jenna's like, I don't give a fuck. I can't wait for this fucking Housewives reunion.
Which one?
Beverly Hills. Because they already recorded it. Did you see Erica's tweet? Because
no.
I guess Andy was like, never have we ever had a four-part reunion.
Yeah, he was talking to Jimmy Fallon.
But then Erica's like, it's because of me. You know, sparkle, sparkle, shine, shine. And then, what's Vicky's old husband's name? Gundelson?
Don. Gumbelson.
He'd be on Twitter.
I know.
Banging on people.
I know.
But do you think it's really him or do you think it's a fake person?
I don't think it's him because it's not verified.
Yeah, so it's not verified. But he was like, yeah, we're happy that you robbed widows and orphans. And the funny, it's not funny, but they always bring it to the widows and orphans. But there are so many other victims that are involved.
Yeah.
If you guys
listen, but only feel sorry for the widows and orphans, guys.
Right. Don't feel sorry for the people that had mesh sleeves that fucked up their bladders and their reproductive organs, or people who lived in, you know, cancer-causing housing development, and they have not gotten their money from this man. But kind of like what Joseph said, I was listening to our episode 127.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you want your settlement money? Tom Girardi. Joseph was like, this is a playbook. It's a playbook. Do everything you want to fucking do. Fuck these people. Smile on their face. Pretend to be a darling. Then, oh, everything's found out. Let me go ahead and file for divorce. And you have all these LLCs and these businesses and money's moving around all over the place. Wait a minute. I've got Alzheimer's and dementia. I'm not going to be held accountable for this.
Hmm.
He was like, it's a playbook. And it's pretty fucked up. So I can't wait to... I mean, but like, what are we going to find out? What will we know that we don't know already?
In the end, it's just about money. Like, it's about getting these people their settlement money. Because say Tom Girardi gets convicted on criminal charges. He's 107. He's like, you know, he's not going to do any real time. So,
and him doing time doesn't get me my money.
Exactly.
It doesn't get me my money. But they need to sell their shit and then start giving me money.
Because, I mean, seriously, by the time this whole thing drags out, because it's going to take years. Like, they're, you know, oh, she's going through this. It's going to take years. Nobody's going to find out anything for a long fucking time. And he could freaking, you know,
die.
Yes. He could literally just, like, pass away in his sleep one night, and what? You can't go after Erica because she's not the attorney. She's not the person who actually did anything. You know, she was just a bystander that got some money. So, I mean, you know.
And enjoyed it.
They're
not going to get money from her, but the funny thing is, like,
Girardi Keats is the one responsible for the fucking, you know. So
and it's Girardi Keats that's suing Erica.
Oh, okay, because that's going to work out really well. That's going to work out so fucking well.
We want all of our gifts back. I don't care if it's $25 million worth of gifts. Give them back to us.
It just doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense at all. All right. Well, that was your Housewives update. All right, so,
Brady, is there something you want to ask me? What are we talking about? I pulled from a well that has not dried up yet, and that is American Greed. Great series, guys. Great series for a bunch of fuckery. So, today we are going to talk about Michael Steven
Banuelos.
That's Banuelos. I don't think that's what they were calling him on the show.
It's Banuelos. That's how it's pronounced. That's a Spanish name.
Okay. Who goes by Ferrari Mike.
Oh, he's an asshole then. Okay.
He's an asshole. Like, who? If you change your nickname to a fucking car, you're an asshole. Period.
End of podcast. That's all we need to know now.
Except for Mustang Sally, because I'm pretty sure she didn't name herself.
Some dude did, I'm sure. Mustang Sally.
So.
Oh, yeah, because you're like, ride, Sally, ride. Fuck that. You listen to songs later on, and then you realize the words, right? They was talking nasty about her, I bet. Mustang Sally now, baby.
Oh, God.
It's stuck in my head. I'm going to be singing this for the whole episode.
Oh, great.
Bet you better slow your Mustang down.
Let's back to...
Oh, Lord.
Sorry. Ferrari Mike. American Greed episode. Check it out. That's where I'm getting all my sources from. So, this guy, first of all, he used to be a LA County sheriff.
Okay.
This is not how we meet him, but this happens before, is where his fuckery begins.
He was a sheriff.
So he used to work in the jail system, and he frauded his coworkers. He was like, hey y'all, do you guys want to invest in a building in New York? It's a great investment. He collects $100,000 from
when did this start? Like, what?
Let's give you some.
I need to hear the.
This was about 2004, I believe.
Oh, gosh.
2004-ish, when I believe the fraud fuckery happened with the sheriffs.
Okay.
So he defrauded his coworkers, so they fired him. They're like, fuck you, get out of here. You stole $100,000 from us.
That's all?
See you next Tuesday.
Okay.
So then he gets a taste of, oh, all right, I only got fired and I came up $100,000. I like this lifestyle I'm living. I'm going to double down on this. And he decides to reinvent himself as Ferrari Mike. And he becomes a music promoter and starts collecting investments to promote upcoming artists.
Wait, okay.
Yes.
Wait.
I know this is
I need to know how these jumps are happening. I am a fucking sheriff. Now I'm promoting music. How? What do I know about being music promoter?
He knows nothing about being a music promoter, but he knows that's where the money is.
Okay. This is happening in 2004, is it?
This is 2004 when the sheriff shit happens. A few years later, around 2007, he's a music promoter. How about 2006-ish?
2006, 2007. Let's see. Who's in the music industry at that time?
Ludacris? Usher?
Yes. And then some...
Alicia Keys?
Yeah, them. But they're, like, I'm thinking, like, let's see. What's that fucker's name? Fabulous? And the motherfuckers that are, like, one-hit wonders almost?
Yeah. So okay. This is going to be about a one-hit wonder.
Okay.
So, we're introduced to this guy. His name is Four Eyes.
No. Not even
hang
interested.
Hang on. So, but let me give you his legal name.
So, from what I'm gathering, ex-sheriff is like, I'm gonna figure out how to get a cash, how to make cash quick,
mm-hmm.
how to do a cash grab. I'm going to get into the music industry somehow, some way, by becoming a promoter.
Mm-hmm.
I know nothing of music promotion.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done any type of music promotion before.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say I'm a promoter and I'm going to get some money.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, his name's Tony Hayes. Okay, so there's this artist by the name of Four Eyes, or his real name is Tony Hayes. Tony Hayes went to high school with Ludacris. I want to call him Jeff Bridges, but that's not his name. It's something Bridges.
Chris.
Chris Bridges.
It's Chris. Ludacris.
Okay, got it. Makes sense. Okay, so he went to high school with Ludacris.
So they decided to get into the rap game together, and they moved to Atlanta. Ludacris blows up. Actually, anyway, it doesn't really matter. Ludacris blows up and features Four Eyes on his first two albums, his debut album and his second album, Word of Mouth. So he's like, oh shit, you know, I'm tired of being in the back. I'm trying to be in the front, and I want to really do my own thing.
Four Eyes.
Four Eyes. And so Four Eyes is pretty connected already because he knows Ludacris. So then he's like partying or something and meets Ferrari Mike. And Ferrari Mike is like, fake it till you make it. That's the thing. They're all saying fake it till you make it. So he's spending money. He's flashing. He's like, oh, hey, Four Eyes, I can help you with your career. You know, let me promote you. Let me do all this. Let me do all that.
Okay.
So since he's got Four Eyes in his stable, he then creates a music production company. Or music promotion company, excuse me, a music promotion company. Mm-hmm. And so then he puts together this, you know, this pitch, and he's pitching investors. He's telling these investors that he knows firsthand, has great relationship with Ludacris, with Usher, with Chris Brown.
He's telling who this?
He's telling investors this.
Ferrari Mike.
Yes.
Okay.
He's telling investors that, hey, I'm connected. And
because I know Four Eyes and he knows Ludacris,
but he doesn't even right. But he's and I've got Four Eyes. He's one of my one of my clients.
Okay,
he's been featured on Ludacris's albums that went here, there, here. So now we're gonna focus on this guy's business. So he puts together an album and he's like, "Let's go to NBA Weekend 2007 in Las Vegas, All Star Weekend."
Okay,
so then they go there to promote the new album. To, you know, bring people...
What album? Four Eyes' album?
Four Eyes' album.
What's the album called?
Oh, Jesus, I don't know.
I'm just saying, I've never heard of
it. It never sold. Let me just say that right now.
I've never heard of this person.
I've never heard of this person either.
Okay.
And so he's like, okay, we're going to promote you. They, like, rent out a club, you know, got models wearing Four Eyes' shirt. And they're so focused on spending money and models and everything, they're not promoting the album. Or he's not promoting the album. It's not getting played. It's not getting sold. And they just spent a bunch of money.
So they're, instead of actually doing what they're supposed to do, they're flashing money and having women running around.
They're partying.
But they're not, yeah, they're not actually saying, hey, guys, want to
they're not doing business.
Listen to the album, want to hear the album, yep. Want to play it on the radio, yes. Put it on, you know, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Precisely.
All right.
So then, Money Mike. I want to call him Money Mike. Oh my God.
Ferrari Mike.
Decides to hire a production company to shoot
a video.
An episode of what? Guess.
Cribs. Of course. Why the fuck not? Why the fuck not? Stupid. Wait. Hold on. He decides to hire a production company. So he didn't go to MTV and say, hey, can we get on Cribs? He was like, we're just going to shoot our own episode. Yes. And then send it to the MTV. They're not going
to... They didn't send it to MTV. He's showing this video to investors.
Oh, what? Wait.
He's showing this video to people he's trying to get into business with.
So he's pretending that they were
on Cribs? That it was on MTV.
Oh, God. Okay.
He was like, I'm important. I've got money. I'm known in the industry. Look, they did an episode of Cribs on me.
What?
I'm like, I don't believe it unless I seen it on MTV. Put it on the channel.
Okay, or at least...
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did they show the video? Like, did they show us what the video looked like? Did it look like it could have been on MTV?
The way it was shot...
Like, I mean, the production value.
Production value, yeah. Like, you know how they walk really fast and, like, go to the house with the cast? He's like, this is my bathroom. It's smaller than this bathroom, but, hey, you can get three or four people in here. His house is okay. It's not, like, fancy schmancy, but he spent a majority of the money on fucking around and partying.
Okay.
So, he fucks a lot of people in this situation. So then he has this guy in his home. His name's, like, Derek or something. And Derek is a personal chef, and he's also in the music industry. And so he's like,
Derek, he's a rapper slash personal.
No, I feel like he was a white dude. Like, I feel like maybe his music might have been like country or alternative or something. We never really saw him what his music expertise was.
Okay,
but he's in the home cooking for this guy as a personal chef. So he's like, okay, he has money. He's doing this. He's doing that. So then Ferrari Mike approaches him. He's like, oh, you know, I'm gonna help you get your own restaurant. We're gonna go ahead and, you know, help you with your music. Your music career.
Mm-hmm.
But we need some money from you to invest because I'm doing all of this for you. You need to have some skin in the game also. And the dude's like, well, I ain't got no money. Shit, I live here with you. I'm cooking you food and shit. Like, you think I'm rich? He's like, well, what about your dad? You've talked about your dad before. His dad's a retired surgeon.
Oh, Lord.
And so he's like, the guy approaches his dad and is like, hey, dad, you know, invest with Mike in his business. And, you know, we're going to make all this money and it's going to go towards my career and my restaurant and blah, blah, blah. So this fella's dad becomes an investor in the company. In the meantime, nothing happens with Four Eyes. He's like waiting in the wings for something to happen. But he was like, my album's never sold. I wasn't like streamed at all. Like, he's like, all the stuff that we should have been doing wasn't getting done. We were busy partying.
So we get to hear from him.
Oh yeah, Four Eyes is on the thing, and the chef is on there. And then I guess there's these guys in Hawaii. It's like a 2-guy group, and the guy's dad, one of the artist's dad, is like really heavily like trying to get his son's career started.
Okay.
They get word of mouth about Ferrari Mike, and then they connect. And then he's like, "Oh, you know, your boy's got talent," which they do. They do have talent. And he's like, you know, I want to cut an album and produce an album for them. So he has them in there. They make music. And so he's like, well, you know, we can really go someplace with this. And I'm going to need an investment from you guys as well. And so he gets $240,000 from this family. And the guys, they're like, the dad was like, I feel like shit about this because he had to get money from, like, his family members and people in his community and stuff like that to propel his son and his partner's career. And he's like, this is our shot. We finally got our opportunity to do this. So everybody's getting fucked right now. So then Money Mike puts together an offer. He's like, oh, my gosh, Def Jam. But Def Jam's in New York, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it is Def Jam. Okay. All right, so he tells the Hawaii guys, the artists from there, hey, Def Jam is interested in, this is how he got the money from them. He was like, hey, Def Jam wants to put you on their label. It's going to be worth $13 million. They're going to put together concert tours, promotions, this, that. This is why we need this $200,000 from you for like due diligence and all the work that I'm doing to get you this deal. He tells that same shit to Four Eyes. Four Eyes, Def Jam wants you. All this stuff is going to happen. Bop, 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 bop. He created a document, forged the creator, CEO, whoever had the authority to offer this deal. He forges their signature on a document and says that you've got this deal. You know, we just need XYZ from you. So they're excited. They're waiting for this deal to happen. And obviously nothing happens. Four Eyes is waiting. He's like, what the fuck? So he calls Ludacris. He's like, hey, Ludacris. Hey, bro. He's like, hey, what's up? He's like, I got this deal that's supposed to happen with Def Jam. And Ludacris is like, oh, dude, I'm actually on my way to talk with L.A. Reid and yada, yada, yada. He's like, all right, I'm going to call you tomorrow. He's like, all right, bet. He calls them. He's like, yo, bro, they've never heard of you.
Four Eyes.
Yeah, Four Eyes. They've never heard of you. They've never heard of Ferrari Mike, and they've never heard of this this music promotion company that he's claiming to be associated with. So you're getting fucked. Have a great day. Bye.
Luda.
Have a great day. Bye.
He didn't say this, but, you know. So then they're like, the fuck. And then there was a promoter, or not a promoter, an investor in the company who was getting like the runaround all over the place. Ferrari Mike was like, oh, we're going to do a concert tour in the Bay Area. And one of these investors is from the Bay. So he suspected that he was being defrauded. So he calls the FBI. if you suspect you're getting defrauded, just call the FBI and then they'll do the work for you, okay? They love fucking people up.
I don't think that's exactly how it works, but
I mean, call somebody. It has to be real.
Don't call the local police, though, because they ain't going to do shit about it.
They don't care. They really don't care. So they find out that it is a huge fucking shit show. It's a bunch of fuckery. Mm-hmm. And he defrauded $2.6 million in the scheme. And the scheme was going...
Dollars?
Yeah, $2.6 million.
Okay.
From investors and from, you know, quote-unquote artists. And it was a 3-year investment fraud. And he falsely claimed to be a successful promoter in the music industry with ties to various well-known artists. He lied to a business manager of a music group that was the father, claiming that he arranged for a concert tour during... This is from the FBI, actually. So hang on, I got something from the FBI.
FBI website.
He was just fucking a lot of people. So apparently a majority of the money was spent on, he has ex-wives. So the,
he has
ex-wives, plural. Uh-huh. So it was like a majority of the money was spent on his personal expenses, ex-wives, thousands of dollars worth of car payments for his Ferraris.
How many Ferraris did he have?
I don't know. I think he had a few, though. They were like, we saw the Ferrari.
If he's Ferrari Mike, he has to have at least 2 Ferraris.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call you Ferrari Mike and you only have 1 Ferrari. That's like calling me Chevy Brandy. That's stupid.
But how many Chevys have you had?
1. The one that I have right now. That's it. You might as well call me Neon Brandy. I had 2 of those.
Call me Car Sunny. I've had a car.
Okay. The fuck?
So he paid thousands of dollars for Country Cups memberships and dues. So
Actually, I had 3 of those.
Neons?
Yeah.
Neon Brandy in the house. Okay. You don't have them now, though. So
yeah, exactly.
Wah, wah. That's what he spent all his fucking money on. So in June 2013, he was indicted by a federal court jury. Actually, excuse me. So at the time, Ferrari Mike was 42. He was indicted by a federal court jury on July 12, 2012, where he was charged with 12 counts of wire fraud and 1 count of money laundering. He was arrested July 26, 2012, in Chicago, where he had lived for a few months. Prior to moving to Chicago, he lived in Atlanta, and he was just flying all over the place because... That's why he left L.A. He went to Atlanta. And he told the guy, the chef, he told the chef that he left L.A. because he got shot in the line of duty. He said he got shot in the chest and he got shot in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's set for life because of these, you know, these injuries that he sustained while, you know, working.
Is that how it works?
No. For the sheriff's department.
I'm pretty sure that's not how it works.
That's what he told him.
I know, but like... Yeah. You're set for life because you got shot in the line of duty. How does that work? Like, I don't know any cop that's like, yeah, I got shot in the line of duty and I'm set for life. The fuck? I've never heard of that.
Well, guys.
They usually go on to work security. Like, let's be real.
Or they fraud people like this fucker did.
But he got fired anyway.
He got fired for frauding his coworkers. Exactly. Like, oh, God. It's like you really can't trust anybody.
No.
You really, really can't trust yourself.
Not even your own mama.
Because sometimes your mom will open up bills for you and credit cards with your name on it. And then you're 18 and you're like, oh, bitch, you're $50,000 in debt. You're like, what?
Mm.
I don't even have credit. What are you talking about? Oh, don't worry. Mama took care of you, baby. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a straight struggle. So this guy got sentenced to 6.5 years in Club Fed. I don't think it's enough, actually.
No.
Like 76 months. Oh, 78 months in prison for running an investment fraud scheme from the FBI.
Okay.
He is out. So he served 6.5 in federal prison. He's out of jail, though. Let me just put you that way. I wanted to do this because I was like, this fool is out of jail, and he's probably doing the same shit.
So we don't know where he is now?
I couldn't find anything on him as of lately.
Huh.
So maybe he's changed his name.
Maybe he moved to Mexico.
I don't know.
Maybe he's in Argentina somewhere.
But he's a liar, and he effed up people. And it's pretty messed up.
He effed up people.
Like, so the guy in Hawaii, he's like, my shit's still fucked up, like, with my family members and my wife. Like, you know, this totally wiped us out. Like, because nothing puts more stress on a relationship or relationships than money. Mm-hmm. It's like, I gave you $20,000, and this is all we had, and I'm never going to see it again. So this guy, he says that, like, every month he tries to pay back some people. Like, he makes payments to people to try and, you know, pay it back.
Yeah.
But
look, some people stop talking to you for over $20. So, like, let's be real. Let's be fucking real.
This is him right here.
Yeah, he looks like a fucking fuckface.
Look at this dude. He's fucking wearing fuckface.
Blue shirt, pink tie. They're not cute. White collar. That's not even cute.
It's very tacky.
It's gross. Mm-mm.
So, yeah, someone was like, yeah, we're faking it too hard as opposed to making it. That's what Four Eyes said. He was like, he knows the game, like, you know, fake it till you make it. But he was like, we're faking it way too hard.
Yeah.
And then he realized that this guy was full of shit. And he really found that out when Ludacris was like, they don't know you.
Yeah.
I don't know her.
Here's what I don't understand. And this is the thing that I'm always going to go back to. If I'm entrusting my career to someone who says they're doing things for me, I'm going to have some sort of follow-up. I'm going to be like, okay, you said that we're supposed to be booking this gig or that gig, or you're talking to this company or that, you know, that label or whatever about me. I want to be in the meeting with you.
Yeah.
Or at least on the fucking conference call.
Oh, he faked a conference call. I didn't mention this.
No. Need details here.
Okay. So the guy in Hawaii, his name was Titus Tynan, and he was the dad of, you know, the hip-hop duo High Life. That's what they were called. And so he was like, okay, asking questions. And, of course, he's giving them lip service. And he was like, okay, well, there's a conference call. So he stages a conference call with Def Jam. And it was fake. Like, this guy's a fucking liar. And,
what did he do? Hire some people to be on, to act like they were music producers? What?
It didn't go into detail as to what exactly he did on the call, but it was a staged call because Def Jam didn't know about him. They had no association. He faked a letter. He forged a letter. He should have got a forgery call on that one, too. He's a liar, dude. Even if you were like, hey, is this true? Is this factual? Can I talk to somebody? Yeah, okay, yeah. Like, even people in other episodes, they'll hire actors to pretend.
I need names. I need numbers. I need all this. I need everything. I need contact information. Because I'm going to go on fucking line and look up the company. You said you talked to Def Jam. Who did you talk to? Okay, I'm going to go online, I'm going to look up the number to Def Jam, because I'm not going to trust the number you gave me, and I'm going to say, do you have this person working there? Now, I might get the runaround from them, because, you know, they're like, well, you know, we get these kind of calls all the time. I don't give a fuck. I want to know.
Yeah.
Tell me. Yeah. Who did you talk to? What is their name?
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys have a, you know, a VP of artists, what do they call it, A&R, mm-hmm. or whatever? Over there named Joseph Smith, because I'm working with a dude. He told me that he talked to Joseph mm-hmm. Smith. Like,
yeah.
I need information, because I don't trust you.
I don't trust you.
I refuse to go blindly into that dark night.
Well, yeah. And so, in regards to Titus and, like, his group, first he was like, okay, we need $12,000 for the demo tape and the album that I'm going to produce for you. But it's like, I don't feel like music producers do this. Like, they don't do this.
It costs, okay, so here's how.
They take it out of the earnings that they make, right? It's like, you owe me this.
When you, like, okay, I guess he had already recorded his album. Is that what we're hearing? Because for studio, like, you have to pay for studio time up front.
Four Eyes didn't pay anything, but the other band did. The High Life, the people from Hawaii, they paid $12,000.
For him to promote.
For him to first do a studio album for them.
To make an album.
Yeah, and maybe it did have promotion involved in this $12,000, but then when it's like, hey, we've got this $13 million deal coming in from Def Jam, we just need some money. We need more money.
Wait, okay, they're gonna give you $13 million, but you got to give them $12,000.
No. $12,000 was for the album.
No, yeah, I get
that. That got Def Jam interested.
Right.
Okay. Great, great, great. All right, so to get this deal, we're going to need more money. So apparently he gave them $268,000 that he borrowed from friends and family members, and nothing ever came of it.
To get a deal after, that doesn't, no, 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 mm-mm, no, no. That doesn't make sense. But, well, this,
If they're giving me all this lip service, and they said this guy was very fast talker, like he was just like, blah, 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 blah. Like, you know how people are talking to you and you only understand like 30% of what they said? Walk away. If you don't understand what this person is saying, get out of there. Please don't use that acronym. What does that mean? I don't care what that...
Ask...
What does it mean?
Questions. I have all the questions. I want all the answers. So I'm going to share... I'm going to give you all the questions and you give me all the answers. That's how this exchange works. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear you just telling me to do stuff. Because I have questions.
Yeah. I've got lots of questions.
I need to know why. Why do you need money for them to give me money? How does that make sense? Don't tell me... Okay, so I'm going to give you $50,000. I need you to give me $25,000. What?
This makes no sense. But he promised them concert tours, everything, a deal. And it's sad. It's really sad because he said that he did lose his life savings and all of his friends and families, you know, stuff.
So. Like I said, people will stop talking to you over $20. Mm-hmm. Like, don't That's it's crazy to me. Like, you need, if I'm going to ask people that I know for large amounts of money, I need a vial of blood. You give me that vial of blood, I'll go ask these people for this money, because that's what I'm going to, because I'm going to cast some fucking voodoo shit on your ass. Because if my money don't come back, and if their money don't come back, your ass is going to burn. Period.
Well, apparently there's an voodoo act. There's an act now. So it says, there's an act that's been made that the law makes it illegal to charge an upfront fee for representation.
For representation,
yes. Mandates specific terms and contract between artist and agent, and gives the artist 10 days to cancel a contract after it's been signed.
Okay, so there's this thing in the literary world where there was a scam going on where people claiming to be literary agents were like, I want to represent you, or even publishers were like, okay, we're going to publish your book, but you need to give us $10,000, or you need to give us $5,000. You need to give us this sum of money so we can publish your book. That is not how publishing works. So if an agent's like, yeah, I'll represent you, but you need to pay me, or yeah, we'll publish your book, but you need to pay us. That is not a deal. That is a scam, because if you're going to be represented by an agent, they're going to get their money from your royalties.
Make
they're
them
gonna
earn
get,
that shit.
Right. They're going to get their money. If they can get you signed by a publishing house, that publishing house will pay you a royalty. And they'll pay you an advance, maybe. You might get an advance. And then you'll get royalties on any book sales that you get. And that's how your agent gets paid. And that's how, obviously, the publisher gets paid. If they're saying, well, we need you to give us this money, like, oh, it's like a deposit just in case. No, 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 no. That's not how it works. Now, if they gave you an advance, like say they gave me a $100,000 advance, and, you know, they fucking footed the cost of making my book, getting all the editing done, all the cover art done, all the shit done, and then I sell like 4 books, they'll be like, okay, we need that advance back.
Right.
That's different than you pay me now and then I pay you later. That's not how it works. And the same should go for every other type of freaking talent, agency, production, whatever. You don't pay them. The only thing you have to pay for is the shit that you're doing right now. Like, if you're recording an album, yes, you gotta pay for that studio time, because you're taking up time of the studio, you're standing there making music, and they need to be paid for their time making your album, but not the rest of that shit. That's different. So, people, if you want to be in the rap game, yes, you're going to pay money, but you're going to pay it for to actually make the album, not to have
to
it
be
promoted
in the studio
and all that other shit. That's crazy to me.
People bank on ignorance also. They hope that you don't know. They hope that you're not, you know, up to date on laws and legalities and your rights. So don't make it easy for them.
like Brandy said, ask all the questions. Brandy's got all the questions.
I do. I'm like, so what does that mean? Okay, so I'm gonna pay you. What is that? What does that go to?
Well, you know, it goes for, you know, we're gonna hire this and we're gonna do that. We're gonna
No. I need to know exactly where that money is going that I'm giving you, because you're telling me you're gonna give me money back. I don't think so. That doesn't work that way. Oh, I was gonna do our Twitch.
Look at you. You look great. All right, Brandy. So that's Mike Ferrari. Mike, he's a dick. So beware for him. He's probably out there somewhere. Brandy, thumbs up for the week.
Okay, my thumbs up for the week is, what is my thumbs up for the week? I want to say that
it's fall, y'all.
It is fall. Fall is upon us. Oh, the 31 days of Halloween starts on tomorrow, and so, you know, all the spooky movies are going to be playing on the channels, which is going to be awesome.
Quote unquote spooky.
Yeah, because like Freeform does their 31 days of Halloween, which is, you know, kid friendly.
Lots of hocus
Halloween
pocus.
Movies. Yes, Hocus Pocus. Lots of Hocus Pocus. Lots of Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Other Halloween-y type shows, movies. And then, of course, the scary shit. I want to watch that. But AMC edits out all the good shit and stuff, so whatever. So, yeah, that's, I guess, my thumbs up for the week is spooky season is starting. And I get excited about watching the movies. What's your thumbs up for the week?
I will not be watching the scary movie.
Whatever. I love the horror.
I will not.
Oh, well, it doesn't happen until next week, so I won't mention it until next week. So whatever.
Cool.
Actually, 2 weeks.
Thumbs up for the week. I planted some corn a few weeks ago, and it sprouted. So I was very happy about that.
You get a corn maze going?
Ooh, that would be cool. I've got a pumpkin. Oh, my gosh. Let's talk about bugs. It's not a thumbs up, but it's like, I had the most beautiful pumpkin, like, I pollinated the pumpkin, it was growing, I was like, it was gonna be a huge pumpkin, and I'm looking, and it's doing terrible. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with my pumpkin? So I got there with my soap and water spray, and start spraying at the base of the plant. All these motherfucking squash bugs, they're like, hey, we're here! Sucked the life out of my plant and killed my baby pumpkin.
Oh, damn.
I was like, you son of a bitch. And I was just like, I prayed for them after I killed them. I was like, I'm sorry.
Why?
I hope y'all come back as a higher life form, but y'all done killed my plants. It's messed up. But then I have another pumpkin plant that has a good sized pumpkin on it. So I'm really hoping that I get a pumpkin.
Did you spray it with the?
I did. I go out and check on it every day.
You know what though? That's what I didn't do yet, was to go and look for the squash bugs, because my pumpkin leaves are,
if they're droopy, there's something.
They're
in
not it. Droopy. They're holy and brown.
Okay.
So something is eating it, but I feel like it's those fucking
aphids,
the green worms.
The cabbage loopers.
Yeah, the cabbage loopers, because they were on there before. And they don't go away, like, at all.
They really don't. I saw a post that was like, I get really sad when growing season is over. Growing season is never over. You can grow every season. Right now, if you're interested, go ahead and plant some lettuce. Go ahead and plant some broccoli, some cauliflower, cabbage, cool weather vegetables. It is the time. So that's what I'm excited for. I was out planting my garden this morning. I'm going to plant some more seeds. I got some parsley out there. And I'm really excited for the Bark at the Park this weekend. It's been a long time coming, and I'm really hyped and excited for my business and its little growth that we're experiencing right now. So visit beautiesbiscuits.com. Use offer code LIES for 15% off, and I will send you something special because I own it. Thank you.
Because I own it.
All right. Well, if you aren't already, go ahead and give us a follow, give us a subscribe, leave us a review. We really appreciate you for being here and listening with us. And I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this was Book of Lies.
The podcast.
It's bold, bitch.